Good morning. We are going to look back in the book of Ruth. We're still moving forward here in our series, Under the Wings of the Almighty, as we look at the book of Ruth through the lens of God's providential dealings, not just with Naomi and Ruth and Boaz and the characters that we find in this book, but also we want to make sure that we're applying this to our own lives. It's not just that God providentially worked with them back then and in the in ancient Israel, but He does the same thing now in our lives. And so we want to try to trace that. The first thing we're going to do, just like we did last week, is read chapter 2. So Ruth chapter 1, we said the title was The Bitter Taste of Providence. And what we're going to see as this story unfolds in Ruth chapter 2 is God's unexpected kindness and providence. We said last week that the disappointments and pains and bitter dealings in life don't define us, but they're stepping stones that lead us to God's goodness and God's mercy. And so we're going to start to see some of that unfold as we look at Ruth chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. And we're going to read the chapter. It says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went, and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then Boaz unto his servant said, Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then Boaz said unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto them, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto form. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And that's the end of Ruth chapter 2. So I know it can be challenging to listen as somebody reads an extended portion of Scripture, but the reason I'm doing that is because, just like last week, as we try to make our observations on God's providence, we may go sequential, we may not, as far as the narrative goes. So you need to kind of have that in your mind as we make our observations here. Let me make one distinction before we get into the actual text and make our observations about God's providence. God's providence is different from a miracle, okay? So a miracle is a non-repeatable contradiction of an otherwise set law of nature, such as giving sight to the blind, such as parting the Red Sea. But providence is different. When God works through providence, he doesn't change the laws of nature. Providence points to the God behind the scenes in the activities that are going on. In providence, God works through the set laws of nature, and God works through the means of normal men and women and events of life. You know, there are times we think about the Old Testament, and we think it might have been a little easier to live for the Lord were we to live back in what we call Bible times, where people saw miracles happen. But you know, the majority of the folks that lived in the Old Testament times never saw a single miracle. The majority of the folks that lived in the Old Testament times lived under the same invisible hand of God that we do today. And so, like we're seeing in the book of Ruth, there are no miraculous dealings where sick people are healed, or dead people are raised, or the ravens come and drop food for people so that they can live and not starve. You don't find any of that in the book of Ruth. But you do find the invisible hand of God who's guiding Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, and everyone else in the story. And so it looks like it just ordinary exchanges that are happening through ordinary people. And that's the point. God's invisible hand of providence is constantly working behind the scenes through what we would call ordinary people and ordinary circumstances. And they're often so ordinary that we miss his hand in our lives. If someone were to write a book about your life and maybe give it to some folks to read 100 years from now, they may be able to point out some providential dealings, the invisible hand of God in guiding you and providing for you. And they may be able to do that in ways that you just didn't even recognize. They may be able to connect dots in your life as the big picture whole of your life that you didn't even recognize. Part of that is because it's a lot easier to look back and see the big picture. But another part of that is going to be because, brothers and sisters, I'm afraid in our lives, we tend to turn a blind eye to God's providence. We don't look to see what God might be doing. And maybe a better way to say that is we don't recognize God as the one who's actually doing it. And so things like ordinary exchanges at the grocery store, that's the way God providentially provides for you. And he's been doing that every single day of your life. But we just don't recognize that sort of thing. The unexpected kindness that comes from a stranger, that's God's providential dealings in your life. And it's just so ordinary, we miss it sometimes. And so as we look at Ruth chapter 2, we want to zero in on some events that we could easily miss if we didn't just stop to take notice. And then, obviously, the author of Ruth is writing these things so that it's easier to pick up on God's providence. All right, so where do we see the unexpected kindness of God, of God's providence in the book of Ruth? Well, number one, we see God's unexpected kindness in the loving initiative of others. God's unexpected kindness and the loving initiative of others. Now, where I'm going with that is at the very beginning of Ruth chapter 2, in verse 2, it says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughters. Go, my daughter." One of the things that we looked at in Ruth chapter 1, and I can't remember how much time we spent on this last Sunday, but Naomi was trying to hinder her daughters-in-law from going to Judah with her, going to Bethlehem with her. And one of the reasons why that was probably the case was because they were Moabites, right? They were going to be, they were going to be extra baggage for Naomi. They were going to be just someone else that she was going to have to try to care for. Well, Orpah goes back and Ruth sticks around. Ruth, being a Moabite, unless this was just a carryover and a regular law in the ancient Near East, she wouldn't have known anything about the law that God had laid down for his people that we'll look at a little later, that gave provision for the poor in gleaning from the edges of the fields. But what happens when Ruth and Naomi get back to Israel is not that Naomi is somehow stuck with a daughter-in-law that she has to provide for, but her daughter-in-law takes the initiative and says, "Let me go to the field and let me glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." Now, just humanly speaking, how many people do you think she supposed she would find grace in the sight of? You remember what we said about the Moabites last week? The ones who were not welcome in the assembly of Israel up until even the 10th generation? The ones who were the enemies of Israel? The ones who hired Balaam to curse Israel? In whose sight would Ruth expect to find grace? Well, humanly speaking, probably wasn't very likely. But you know what she did? She took the initiative anyway. And she could see that Naomi was bitter and was probably worn out and old, and she needed someone to care for her. And so she said, "Let me go to the field and let me glean." Whenever we read the story of what actually happened, it's as the chapter unfolds, Boaz comes to the field and notices a stranger, which was Ruth. And he asks his foreman, "Who is this woman?" And the foreman gives this description in verse 6. It says, "And the servant that was over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. And she tarried a little in the house. And then Boaz said unto Ruth, Don't go glean in any other field," and so forth and so on. Well, the point is, as the servant or the foreman was describing what happened, Ruth comes and doesn't just assume she can jump in the field and start gleaning. She asks permission. But then after she asks permission, she works very hard. He says she hasn't spent any time in the house. She's gleaned and has labored the entire time. Well, we see the loving initiative that Ruth has taken. This is a sacrificial love that Ruth has for Naomi. Now, you know, it's we look at that and say, well, how else was she going to survive herself? And the truth was she couldn't. But as we look into what's going on here, it's Ruth's love for her mother-in-law that allows her to go, or that pushes her to go into a strange land with a strange people. And then that gives her the push to say, I need to go glean. We also see the unexpected kindness of God in the loving initiative of Boaz. You see what Boaz, how he responds. He goes to Ruth in verse 8 and he says, don't go to any other field. From now on, you stay here. And you glean with who? You glean with my maidens. There's a place of protection there. We'll look at that a little later. But Boaz says, you come and you stay with my maidens. I've told the men already not to touch you. And then you come and you eat at my table. Well, I want you to think about in your own life and in God's own providential dealings with you, I want you to think about all the times that God's unexpected kindness showed up in your life through the loving initiative of somebody else. Someone who maybe you didn't know, or someone who maybe you didn't even expect. Maybe you were going through a hard time and someone saw that and decided to take the initiative and help you, speak a word of encouragement to you, give you counsel that was helpful and that was a blessing to your life. Someone who came alongside and did the work that you couldn't have done by yourself. It reminds me of Proverbs chapter 17. We will turn there. Proverbs chapter 17. Verse 17. Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Well, have you ever experienced the blessing of a brother who was born for adversity? Someone who came along and was not just not just out of obligation, but out of love for you, helped bear your burden, helped serve you, helped support you, helped carry you along, and was a blessing to you. Well, brothers and sisters, we all have stories like that in our lives, and we need to recognize that didn't just happen. That's the unexpected kindness of God's providential dealings in our lives. And we see that here in Ruth. Secondly, and we made mention to this, secondly, we see God's unexpected kindness in His law or in His word. Okay, God's unexpected providential kindness in His law. Look back in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Reading verses 9 and 10. It says, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. And then we also want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24. And in verse 19, he says, when thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee and all the work of thine hands. Now, God had given this law long before Naomi came back as a poor widow. Matter of fact, this law was given long before Naomi was even born. Long before she was even a thought in anyone's mind. And yet, in God's providential kindness, now, brothers and sisters, we're going to think about how personal God is. In God's providential kindness, I just can't help but think that God had Naomi and Ruth and every other individual who was a recipient of the blessing of this law in mind whenever he gave it. You know, I doubt very seriously that Naomi ever gave any thought to how she might benefit from the law of not reaping the corners of her fields whenever she and Elimelech were married, whenever she had her two sons. I'm sure she could see the blessing that would be for people who needed that, but she wasn't the kind of person who needed that. They had the ability to provide for themselves. They were financially stable, as it were, until the famine came along. And so as Naomi leaves Bethlehem looking for food, she comes back a different person. I imagine she realized whenever she was coming back that the only way I'm going to survive is through the kindness of the landowners that will allow me to glean, or at least will allow me or Ruth to glean what's there. Well, I want you to think about, in your life, how many of us could bear witness to the fact that at just the right time, we received a portion or a principle of God's Word that transformed our lives ever since. I want you to think about, we looked at Psalm 19 a couple of Wednesdays ago, and it talked about the Word of God and the transforming power of God's Word, that it converts the soul, that it enlightens the eyes, that it makes wise the simple, that it rejoices the heart. I want you to think about God's providential dealings in your life. You hear about people who were going in a certain direction, and all of a sudden, one word from one sermon changed the whole course of their life in that particular area. I can think of specifics in our congregation right now where that's been the case. Well, brothers and sisters, if you can bear witness to that reality, you need to know that that didn't just happen. That's an expression of God's unexpected kindness in His providence, that you happen to be sitting in the right place at the right time, that you happen to open up your Bibles to the right place at the right time, that the Lord allowed your circumstances and your awareness of yourself and the Word of God to all come together at the right time to put you on a path you would have never been on. Now, I want you to think about all the sermons that you've listened to and all the times that God's Word has had very little effect long-term on your life. We hate to admit that, but that's the case. We hear lots of sermons, and long-term, many of the things that we hear just are not impactful. You think about what all has to be orchestrated and come together in order for your life to be moved into a different direction, even when it concerns God's Word. Well, that doesn't just happen. It's God's kindness and His providential dealings with you. And so we ought to recognize that. Third, we want to see in Ruth chapter 2, God's unexpected kindness in guidance, in the way that He guides His people. Now, we looked at this in our first message on providence, but in an overview of Ruth. But if you look back in Ruth chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz." In the Hebrew, it would literally say, "And her hap happened to be in the field of Boaz." Isn't that something? That of all the fields that she could have gone to? Now the way this worked back in ancient Israel was that everyone lived inside of the city for protection. Okay, so you didn't live on the farm. It wasn't like your house was connected to your field. Everyone lived inside the city, but then you had a field that was allotted to your family or that your family owned, but that would have been separate from your living quarters. So Ruth leaves the living quarters, and she's walking among the fields of the men of Israel, and she just happens to stop at the field that Boaz owns. And when you look in Ruth chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, it's obvious that Naomi is able to see, and she rejoices in the fact that the Lord had blessed Ruth and had blessed her in allowing her to find Boaz's field. Look at her response. In verse 20, it says, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our kinsmen. Now, this is going to change the whole trajectory of the story of Ruth, but again, the point that we want to make here is God's providential guidance. Out of all the fields Ruth could have landed in, she lands in Boaz's field. Well, think about that and think about how that relates to your life. When we read Psalm 23 and we see the good shepherd who is shepherding his sheep, who's caring and leading his sheep, I remember one of the details that I picked up on when I was studying that psalm, I guess it's been 7 years ago now when we did that series, was this reality that the Eastern shepherd never led his sheep in a straight line path. That they always took this roundabout path, that it wasn't the most efficient way, but it was the best way. It was where the food was. It was where the fields were lush. It was where the sheep could be provided for. And brothers and sisters, so often God leads us the same way, in a roundabout path. So many times we can't detect what God's doing and where God's leading. It seems like he leads us here, there, and everywhere, and it doesn't always make sense. But brothers and sisters, we also have confidence that God is guiding, that his invisible hand is leading. And one of the blessings that we find in God's unexpected kindness and guidance is that it's necessary for our growth, necessary for our growth. Look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, Paul says, Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. See, this is a passage and this is a progression that's all about God's leadership, even in these tribulations. It's God's leadership that produces patience. And then, after we've been led through this roundabout way time and time again, then we begin to be able to live off of or remember our experiences. Those things that were so bitter to us at the time become so sweet, because we can recall, now that we're going through new trials, we can recall that God was there even when I thought my world was falling apart back then. He was guiding me. And I'm confident today, even though I can't see his hand any clearer than I did back then, I'm confident that it's there and he's leading and he's guiding, and that experience is producing hope. And that hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So we're able to see, even if we don't understand what's going on, we realize that we are in the loving hands of a Father who is doing what's good for us, and we have a confidence there. It doesn't mean that, that confusion is pleasant. It just means it helps us make sense out of it. Okay, God's unexpected kindness in guidance. We also see God's unexpected kindness and protection. Okay, Boaz tells the men of his field, "Do not touch this woman." She was a Moabitess. She was worth very little in Israel. Matter of fact, she was despised in Israel, just based on who she was. You'll recall as you read Ruth chapter 2 that they refer to her as Ruth the Moabitess, three times. And she's referred that way throughout the book several times. Well, that's not a compliment. Okay, it's more of a racial slur. But God provides his hand of protection there. How many times has God provided his providential protection in your life? In ways that you wouldn't have recognized, in ways that you haven't seen. Now, again, as we think about that, there's no way for us to see every time. But brothers and sisters, the fact that we go to bed safe and wake up safe is a testament to God's providential protection over our lives. And so we ought to thank God for that, and that ought to encourage you. Number five, we see God's unexpected kindness in using the previous pain in someone's life to bring about sympathy and kindness in the present. Now, what I'm thinking about here is Boaz, and I'm going to have to give credit to Brother Scott on this. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Scott Wallace brought this to my attention, and it's this reality that when you look in Matthew chapter 1 at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, it's no surprise to you that Ruth makes it in the list, right? She's there because she and Boaz have David's grandfather. But if you look up a little bit, you'll find out that Boaz's mother was Rahab. Okay, that's Rahab the harlot. You remember her from Jericho? And so, do you think that maybe being raised by the woman who would have been known as the prostitute from Jericho would have had anything to do with the kindness and sympathy that Boaz immediately shows Ruth the Moabitess? Oh, I think it would have to. I think it would have to. I think that the circumstances were just so similar. Boaz's language and the way he speaks to Ruth, you can see similarities. For instance, look in Ruth chapter 2, which is where we are. Ruth chapter 2, starting verse 10. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Then she fell on her face," speaking of Ruth, "and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him," that's to Boaz, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto for." You notice the only thing that got Boaz's attention was not just that she had been kind to her mother-in-law. Boaz is sympathetic to the fact that she has left her people. She has left all that's familiar to her. And while she's come to take refuge under the wings of the Almighty, Boaz recognizes these difficulties because this is the exact same thing that Rahab did. Now, was it a blessing for Rahab not to be destroyed with the rest of Jericho? Of course it was. Was it a blessing for Rahab to become part of Israel? Of course it was. Was it difficult for her in real life to live in a strange land with strange people, even though blessings were there? Of course it was. And so, as Boaz is raised by Rahab, we see God providentially using that to soften him toward this Moabitess, who would not really have received much compassion from the average individual in Israel. Isn't that a blessing? The overarching reality here is that God can use your trials to equip you for a ministry opportunity down the road. God can use your trials to equip you for a ministry opportunity or equip those around you for a ministry opportunity down the road. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul says that we are comforted so that we can comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we have been comforted. Okay, the last point here in God's providential dealings and his kindness is God's unexpected kindness in providing a kinsman redeemer for Naomi and Ruth. His unexpected kindness in providing a kinsman redeemer. again, one that would even think about marrying a Moabite. We're not there yet in the story, but this is, we're seeing it unfold. So Naomi comes back, and she comes back empty-handed, right? She comes back empty-handed and afflicted, and she has nothing. But guess what? Her kinsman redeemer is full of riches and honor. He's one who is not lacking in anything. And this young Moabite just happens to stumble upon his field, and that's where we trace the blessing of God sending his only begotten Son, that he might die on our behalf, that he might be our kinsman redeemer, who's not ashamed to call us brother. And so we see God's unexpected kindness in providing a kinsman redeemer for Naomi and Ruth, and also for providing a kinsman redeemer for us, his people. So we could say more about that, and as we get into chapter 4, we will say more about that. But we're going to end there. So God bless you. I love you, and I hope you have a good day.